and high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good.
Oh, my, my, my. Feeling good. Feeling good is another word. My name is Emilio, and Michael, can you hear me? Maha, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, good. I'm coming through. I had upgraded my phone, and it looks so different that I'm like, okay, so let's not push the wrong button here and disconnect. But you're hearing me, and I'll leave that be. And so we'll welcome everyone to the Thursday segment of the Paradise Circle. Wow, Thursday segment. And Sundays is a beautiful way to start off the week. So if you're listening and you have never caught Sundays, that's 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, and you can go back and catch any of the shows in the back. And so welcome guests in the chat room, and those of you who are listening from whatever set you're listening from and whatever time you're listening in. And whatever time, we know that it's now, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, if you're listening in, it's now. It was funny today, I was telling someone, they said, what time was it? And I said, I was just thinking about it, it's now. And he looked at me like I was kind of crazy, and I said, you know, that will be interesting. I met a guy once who said, you know, we ought to just take something and put the word now on front of every watch. And so anytime somebody asks you what time it is, it's now, because it's that's just what it is. It's just right now. And so welcome to the now of what we're doing. My name is Emilio, and I'm ecstatic. I'm feeling energetic. I'm ecstatic. I'm happy and blessed to be here and with you. And a feeling word for me would be feeling good. If you can't hear my voice, that's exactly where I am. You're tuned into Paradise Circle. So, Maha, Michael, check in, and how are you doing this evening? What would be a feeling word?
For me, the feeling word surprises me, and yet it feels so real. I feel safe. So I could say surprisingly safe.
Yeah. And, I'm tempted to add, what is it causes you to feel surprisingly safe?
Oh, this is so sweet. It is to have given me the proof. In several instances in the past few days, that my propensity to attack, which has been a way that I would defend myself, is absolutely embraced, and as such, not here. In the destructive way it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I like the way that you frame that, and that I embrace that. And it's not a denial. It's not a fight. It's not a flee. It's just embrace something as you explore it and you transcend and you dive in, and that's awesome. Thank you.
Exactly right. Thanks, Emilio.
Thank you. How about you, Michael? Feeling word, and what's going on for you right now?
Thank you, Emilio. My word is swirling. and that comes out of a week of preparation. You know, there's an idea whenever there's a large gathering of people, a lot of folks coming together. I'm preparing for a meeting that happens tomorrow, and there's a lot of different personalities, a lot of different competing priorities and agendas and requirements, and a lot of different presenters. And there is a chaotic process that assembles itself into a process that has order. And so the swirling is a disorganization coming into an order and processing a lot of different stuff and excited at the same moment. So glad to be with you guys.
Beautiful. I get just a real beautiful picture of that swirling and the energy behind that swirling. And so the first image that comes to mind is a picture of different colors. And so I'm looking at these colors swirling and coming together, and there's a unique blend, and yet there's the individual aspect of each one of them that's unique that you can see. So thanks for bringing the swirling in, Maha. Thanks for bringing the embracing in. And, let's rock and roll. This ought to be an interesting dance. This is the Paradise Circle. And for those of you who have not downloaded a copy of the book, please feel free to go to empoweringnow.com and go to the resources section or the open meeting section, and you will see a tab there where you can download a copy of the Paradise Circle book. It certainly makes sense to be looking at it, especially as we dance between the lines and over and under the fractals that we talk about, the colors that are swirling around that are being embraced. And so with that said, I'm reading from page 3, The Paradise Circle. Welcome to The Paradise Circle, a gathering of ordinary people practicing deep introspection and doing shadow work to come to know ourselves and solve everyday problems. Our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lives. Communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. By joining in, engaging, and coming back, we increasingly benefit from the distilled essence of an ultimate method of inquiry. Known as the path of XPR, expire, that inquiry is radical as it is based on sacred geometry. And each time we honestly engage in this learning, this unlearning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we honestly engage in this unlearning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate in a meeting, we renew the understanding that there is only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough. And the Paradise Circle is sponsored by Empowering Now, LLC. And if you haven't received this one yet, receiving is the meaning of the Hebrew word Kabbalah. Maha, Michael, anyone else that's joined us, any thoughts, comments that resonate with you from the reading of page 3, please?
What I hear, Emilio, differently today, and it has a lot to do with feeling curiously safe. What I hear is the name of the path itself that we travel as the path of expire. And the courage that it takes to just be primary and deliberate about dying to who we think we are. And it is actually that death that allows me to embrace rather than slay the dragon. That is a complete death of the dragon, because if I slay its head, then 7 more heads are going to grow at mm-hmm. that very same spot.
Mm-hmm.
But if I embrace the entire dragon, then it can, but being sublimated. And that's a death. That's a transformation. So that's what touches me this evening, the accuracy of a path that says it like it is, the path of expire.
Amen. That's beautiful. That's awesome. You sparked for me. You made me want to go out and pick up this movie that I saw a long time ago, but may now have a really different meaning to me as I can look at the mystery within it called How to Train Your Dragon, I believe. And it would be interesting to see what that has to say to me now that I look at it through the mystery of what's going on and the spirit in it, you know, as opposed to just for entertainment value. Like a lot of times when we do the Kabbalah at the movies, we're looking at the mystery and the depth inside that movie as opposed to just simply the entertainment value. So thank you for sharing that. And that's what I was feeling when you said embrace. And so thanks for adding versus slaying. And that brings also an image of one head bringing back 7. Yes, indeed. Thank you. Michael, how about you? Any other thoughts or things resonate for you out of that?
Yeah, one thing I'd like to share is the word ordinary. And I was chuckling as I heard that word. It reminded me of when my kids were young. Two of my boys, my two boys, both enjoyed magic and playing with magic tricks. And, you know, and this is an ordinary hat, just an ordinary hat. And how the magician would use that word ordinary. And I was laughing at that word because of what I know about how extraordinary these ordinary people are. You know, it's like, at the same moment, magical and ordinary. So wanted to share that.
Amen. Beautiful. And I would be remiss if I didn't just thank those of you here in spirit with us and inform. And wherever you listen, we know that Laura is out there somewhere in spirit. We know that Marina is out there in spirit. We know Natalie, and there's so many others that are listening in at different times. So just wanting to really thank you and bless you for your being here and being on this path that Maha has described it as a path to expire. What touched me is differently is this evening, and whenever I hear it and we talk about it, but doing shadow work to come to know myself. And just doing shadow work to come to know myself brings me right to the agreements. And I'll use that as I go to our circle agreements, which are on page 5. Shadow work is an invitation to empty the cup and even break it so as to Kabbalah or receive wisdom, power. And when I think about to receive wisdom, power, what this says to me is that the only way that I'm going to be able to do that is actually do the shadow work so that I would come to know myself. And the shadow work is really, there's some challenges that go there because I know that I'm not always fully engaged and willing to see what I've been hiding or to see what is in the dark or see what it is that frightens me or see what it is that I hunger for. It's so much easier to stay outside in the quote-unquote light rather than to dive into the depths of what really moves me from a subconscious. And so that shadow work here that we're talking about, we have some agreements in place that we embrace to help us as we do this work because we know that it can become dicey. We know that it can bring a light to something automatically. And so number one is permission, that I trust us. Me. I trust us when the dark night of the soul moves me into fight, flight, freak, or freeze. I'm here to risk entering into the darkness so as to bring light on how my misusing power prevents the force from being with me. And that's just the caveat, what I was saying. I'm here to risk entering the darkness. And so can I get an amen on a permission that we're putting forth here from you guys?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And number two says that I own my experience. I hear the use of you words as marks of my projections. So your experience, my experience, you, we, us, projections. I hear the use of you words as marks of my projection. And so I can own mine, but I know that there's only one of us, and the projections that you have are another aspect of the projections that I have. So I can own my experience, and you and I are one. And we agree to own our individual and collective experience. Can I get an amen on that one?
Aye, aye.
Amen.
Amen. Confidentiality by request is precious, because it says confidentiality by request in case I open my shame closet and I can't close it, in case I've fallen down and I can't get up. So there's a couple ways to look at this. One is, I know we're on the internet, I know we're live, I know that we're sharing different things, but there's an aspect that sometimes if I open my shame closet, and to understand that, and I think everyone can relate in one form or fashion if they have experiences, but we have shame in the way that we look, we have shame in the way that we have brought ourselves to this point in life, we have shame in the way that we do things, and there's a sense of shame that we face. And there's an aspect, if that happens to come up in this moment, and I want to stop that and say, look, can we take this offline? We're agreeing that that's okay. But the other piece that the light is showing here in this darkness, in the shadow that we're coming to, is that if there's a need for that confidentiality by request, if it's a beacon and a flag that indicates to us that there's still some of that left. And we're here to do that because it's predicated on the first one, which is permission, where I'm going to trust when I'm in the dark. I'm here to risk entering into that darkness. So that confidentiality by request gives me a clue that there's still some shame holding on. And just to let me know that it's just there. And if I can't deal with it right here, okay, fine. Let me take that offline. But it's showing me that it's something to be dealt with. So that's another one of our agreements. How about that? Can we get an agreement on this one?
Yep.
Amen. And presence is, I do, number four, and these colors come to mind also, because the presence marks the earth and the presence marks that brown part where I do my utmost to stay in my body and not go into a void dance, where I do the best that I can to not go off into some other, to space out, to stay right here and be with what it is that's coming up, because to do this void dance takes me back again to where I've given you permission to bring me back out of flight, freeze, or wherever I am, and to come to a place where I can own my experience. And so we want to do the best we can to stay in our body and stay present. Can we get an amen on that one?
Amen.
Amen. And discomfort is number five, where I check the unease of change, where I default to go to comfort places. I remember reading once where someone said, if there's no discomfort, something's wrong. And so if you're not feeling some discomfort, something's wrong. The discomfort comes when there's an unease of change, because there's always a resistance to change. And I can easily go back to where it's comfortable. It reminds me once of someone saying that you can drop a frog in a pot of hot water, it'll jump right out. But you can put it into nice, cool water, just turn up the heat, and you'll cook him right there. Because once it gets discomfort, I'm inviting the uneasy change. I want to invite that. And that goes back to giving you the permission to risk entering the darkness. And everything to me is predicated on permission. I invite the uneasy change. Can we get an amen?
Yep.
Amen.
And then finally, clearing the space, I check my assumptions when I think that something is off. And I just don't make the assumptions. Clear the space, check the assumptions rather than build on them and build a story. If you think something's off, check your assumptions. It's simple enough to say, excuse me, when I heard or I was thinking or whatever, but check your assumptions. Don't let it go unfounded. Clear the space. Amen?
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. So I have been reflecting on these circle agreements, and I remember on Sunday's show saying something about how much Maha had modeled this and how I love hearing them and how it's becoming such a grounding for me. So if you hear a different vitality with it, it's just the way that I'm flowing with it and understanding it and feeling it and giving myself permission to integrate it more into my life. So thank you for sharing and staying with me. And guests, if you're still in the chat room, you want to call in, join, bring your voice to 646-564-9680. And other than that, I'm going to shift gears a little bit and ask Michael and Maha, let's bring a feminine aspect. Maha, would you mind sharing aspects in terms of page 10? Did you receive it?
Sure. Okay. So, did you Kabbalah it? Did you receive it? So, the word Kabbalah actually means to receive. And what is to be received is a really great question. The way I answer it this moment is the voice. I am here to receive my voice, by which to be increasingly primary. And being primary is the experience that there is a full alignment between what I say I want and what I have in actuality. When that happens, an example would be to say, I want to find a job, and I actually found one. Then there's an alignment. If I were to say, I want to have, I don't know, friendships, and I find myself being lonely, should that happen, then there is something to where I'm not in my voice. In other words, there's something unconscious happening that does not allow me to speak and see the result of my communication being alive. So once we admit that this is what receiving is about, this is the actual gift and goal of the Kabbalah, then how are we going to go about it? And those 4 points are offered here. The first one is to feel and transform. And it goes that way. Communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. To be primary is to be myself, meaning what I say and saying what I mean. When I have this kind of resonance in my voice and in my words, is how I am and have transformed. This being said, that's wonderful, but how do you get there? And the way to get there is through awakening. And awakening goes with peace. When I am not in peace, there is something I do not understand. The opposite is also true. When there is something I do not understand, I lose peace of mind, most likely. From there, I have two sensible options. I can ask and answer the ultimate question, who am I? Who is it that right now is not peaceful? And that is known by the ancients as the work of inquiry. The second option is I can accept that I am not in peace. It is okay to feel that way. That is known, again, from ancient time on and in most traditions, as surrender. So if I accept that surrender is a byproduct of inquiry. In other words, if I could just be peaceful with all aspects of my life and surrender it all, that would be nice. I am finding that I need the intermediary step of inquiry. If that's the case, I'm going to look for an inquiry I can trust. An expire inquiry is radical for one reason only, which is it is using sacred geometry, the root of everything. No wonder it would be radical. The Genesis pattern, which is also known as the seed of life, reveals that it is the word and by extension the world that is created in 6 days. So most of us may have heard that in Genesis there were 6 days of creation. Now we're saying communication is the result. So first comes the word, then the world. And the 6 stages climax in the consciousness of what is known in Judaic religion as the Shabbat, and which is known to each of us as being in the zone and or resting, semini. So again, we're looking at being real, authentic. And we can talk about this as long as we can, but we can also look at the word XPR, the name of that path, as an experience. And in terms of experience, we're going to look at the tree of life. The one was the chakras, in how the tree of life cross-culturally holds the wisdom of the scriptures and has for goal to lead me out of my darkness, my lower world, my Egypt, into what is symbolically known as the promised land and felt as pure awareness. And we're going to see what happens in terms of eating of the other tree. So that's pretty much what the focus of the Kabbalah is about. And as we inquire, we are really doing shadow work. And that's how to turn on the light on empowerment. So there you go, Emilio.
Amen. Wow, this is all seeming so rich. Michael, well, let me say a couple of things, and then if there's something that you want to respond to and what Maha just said and then what I'm going to say about where we've been, let's hear that, bring that in. So bringing in what Maha has talked about over the last few weeks, we've been talking. There are some interesting questions that have been asked over the last 2 or 3 weeks. One was, what is my current paradox, and or what am I not accepting? What understanding am I not accepting? Second question was, am I willing to own my own shadow projection? A question in the show just recently was, am I willing to be fully empowered? And am I willing to change the game? And then we talked about how to recover paradise lost in terms of coming to understand and fully know through doing shadow work that there's nothing out there and that it's all projection. And then we talked about limbo and then sort of nicely bringing us to tonight of how to begin to recognize the signs that I'm in limbo. And that's where the dance begins tonight. So, Michael, any thoughts, anything you would add in reference to what Maha said and what we're talking about now?
Well, the one comment that I would offer is the idea that the synthesis of our beginning thing has a logic to it that when fully received really makes a lot of sense. So that was what I was noticing and wanted to comment on, and it really ties right in. If I want to be heard and I want to make sense in life, whether it's preparing for a sales call or you know cooking a dinner or what have you, it certainly does make things more, efficient when I can understand the organization and that there is an order to the chaos. So that would be my connection, and then I feel like that ties us right into limbo. I mean, this week for me has had a lot of chaos, right? That's what I was saying earlier. And I've noticed myself walking through that chaos this week, and many times waiting, just really being in a real waiting mode. And when things got clear, boom, it got clear quick. So I get that same muscle is what we're learning to exercise in this limbo paradise dance that we're talking about.
Mm. Beautiful. So as we look at, you want to start off, Michael, keep going with the fractal, just to give some insight into what we have here, because we look at the limbo that you touched on Sunday, and then we're adding another component here to it. So
sure.
You want to share any? Go ahead.
Yeah. Like Maha was speaking, the idea that this path is a tool to help us to inquire, and it's based upon sacred geometry, and most notably the 6 days that we were offering. There are 6 days of being in limbo, and there's, quote-unquote, 6 days of paradise. So the way the code works is when I am not in the now, in other words, I'm into some version of unconscious time, we're just calling that limbo for the sake of understanding a concept in consciousness. And that begins, if we look at this table in the gold cell in the upper left-hand corner. So when I'm in limbo, the first place is to feel forced, and that's when my voice feels forced. And these all connect to elements that are both decoded from an unconscious perspective to a conscious perspective on the bottom. But unconsciously, when my voice is a screech and I don't have an understanding of that timeless time that you were speaking of on the now, I do. I feel forced. And from there, my split mind, the next cell to the right, feeling forced, says stupidity. So my split mind thinks things should be different. I can't go to the length. And out of that, I become stupid some way or another. That's what the split mind does. And that deepens the feeling of limbo to the point to where my lost soul goes into destruction. And that self-destruction is a very typically dark sort of self-destruction. And to your point earlier, maybe I don't even want to see that self-destruction. And it's that self-destruction that keeps me out of the dimension of my height. From there, my body goes into a pain body where it's tired, and I might actually be putting on too much width in terms of the physicality of things. Maybe I pick up some bad habits, and that increases the tiredness. And my heart, my broken heart, is irritated. And, maybe I can't put my finger on it, but it prevents me from going to my depth, and that's really what we're looking at with shadow work, is being willing to go deep. And then the last step of limbo has me all out wanting to quit, whatever it is. And it keeps me away from the pure action of having my spirit completely connected. So those are the 6 days of limbo.
Amen. Amen.
And if we want to move into paradise, we basically have a different order on the bottom. Go ahead, Amelia. I apologize.
As you were looking, going through these, and we could do them with all of them, but the beauty of what we're talking about here, and as you were saying, the logical aspect of it and how things tie together, if we were to go back, and just to take, for example, we could take any fractal in this way, but everything builds upon everything else because it's all one. So if we were looking at the circle agreements, for example, and you were talking about, just to give an example, being comfortable with being out of my dimension of height, and that was in the self-destruction aspect of being in limbo. If I looked at the circle agreements, that then brings me back to the comfortable place. So it's the dimension of height is my ability to feel. So I've become comfortable with staying into self-destruction, but I don't understand that. And I'm going back to the circle agreement that these things become comfortable places for me to be in self-destruction and not really even knowing that there is something else to move me into the discomfort to understand my feelings. So I'm just tying in what you said, but just adding another layer on it and how it ties to the circle agreements. It's beautiful, and I can look at that from any of these by looking at another piece where it's power versus force and the permission associated with the voice and the first one, but that's feeling forced. And limbo is feeling force, where there's power that's forcing me to feel force. And so I just think that it's really beautiful to be able to see how, regardless of where we are, regardless of what die I roll, which we may want to do, it always brings me back to a clear sense of what's going on at that particular level within the fractal. Thoughts, comments from either of you?
Nope.
Beautiful. So so as we go into this, then it's good to just go into a fractal and maybe roll a die. So if anybody else is listening, you want to roll a die to see, and then we'll just play and go through each one of these, and you can feel if this resonates with you based on the die that you roll. And of course, they all relate to me, and it's just the one that's calling me at this particular point. So, Maha, do you have a sense of how you would bring this piece in with the signs that I am in limbo?
Sure. Well, first of all, the three of us may roll a die. If you don't have a die accessible to you, you could just say the first number that comes between to your mind, between 1 and 6. That's another option. And a third option is to just see what you relate to as we go through this process. Rolling a die is pretty much like using what Carl Jung called the law of synchronicity, that the roll of a die, just like the pick of a card, mirrors some form of energetic motion that is in you at this time. And so we're going to look at what that means while being in limbo and what that means while being in bare die. So anybody roll number 1 out of us?
No, I roll 4.
Okay. And Michael?
I also rolled a 4.
Okay, then let's roll a die for Verena and 1 for Laura. This way we have a little bit more of an option.
I rolled a 3 for Verena.
All right.
And a 2 for, I would imagine,
right.
Laura.
Beauty. So I am 2 also. And so we're going to look at what are the sheer signs. What, you know, how can we recognize markers? Sort of like when you travel in an unknown destination and you may have directions and you're going to look for a gas station that is to the left, or you're going to look for a Shell gas station that is to the right. So this is our Shell gas station and our breadbasket restaurant as we are traveling in this unknown land called limbo. So the first sign is feeling forced, and no one picked it at that point. However, I picked stupidity. And that implies that I didn't become aware that I was feeling force. Feeling force is a sure sign that I am resisting entering the mystery. Like, I know I am to embrace the unknown, and I don't want to embrace the unknown, and so I'm going to resist embracing the unknown and entering the mystery. So, and then I'm going to call it, I am feeling forced. Someone is pushing me. Something is pushing me. I don't like it. And so I'm going to start creating unconscious time. Like, tomorrow I'll quit my job. Tomorrow I move out of the house where I am. And doing so, I am keeping myself from becoming who I could be. So the second is for you, Laura, and for me. When we become stupid, and we're like in a stupor, literally, and that is a sheer sign that we are, that I am resisting the pure logic by which to let go of my belief system. And that's a bummer. An example would be, communication is the result, and I want to look at my results. That logic that I'm communicating, for example, I don't want to lose weight. When my speech is all about losing weight, that place of illogism in me, I want to look at it, and so I'm going to turn stupid. And the question for you and I, Laura, is, how is that protecting me, that stupidity, protecting me from stretching to the length of my thinking? So, in other words, as long as I am in an ambivalence, part of me wants to lose weight, another doesn't, and the result of my communication is I don't lose weight. I must continue to walk on that path. I must persevere until I have explored all the shadow side, all the unknown that brings this ambivalence into being. I can turn stupid, but it doesn't change that the pure logic is here. And the result is going to be here until it's not here. And when it's not here, it is saying that I have come to the end of my subconscious mind in relationship to that creation. I'm no longer stupid. I'm intelligent. And I'm not talking about IQ.
Yeah, I'm just chuckling at the idea, because the way you spoke, it was cute, and it was also funny. In the sense that when we normally hear that word stupid, there's such a charge. You know, when you call somebody stupid, you might as well, those are fighting words where I grew up, you know. And the point here is, really, when you said it, you know, here's the result, okay? And when I'm not willing to look and see the logic, the pure logic that communication is the result. In other words, there's still some unconscious fragments that need to be integrated via some amount of inquiry. To resist looking at that, in fact, yeah, there's the stupidity. I appreciate the way you offered that.
Thank you so very much. You know, it made me think what your comment, commenting on stupidity, reminded me of Einstein quotes, who says two things are infinite, the universe and human stupidity. And I'm not sure about the universe.
Yeah.
Speaking of... you know, being cute, it is just right down adorable, and also very true.
Mm-hmm.
So, three, and guilty as a charge, I can definitely own to my stupidity. So, Verena, this is for you. Self-destruction by destruction is a sure sign that I'm resisting getting a clue. So, everybody knows that one. TV, too much social media, too much food, too much booze, too much whatever I use to destroy myself and destruct myself. And what I'm missing, the question is, how is that protecting me? How is self-destruction by destruction protecting me from elevating myself to the heights of my feelings? So would you like to answer, one of you, for me, that question? How self-destruction by destruction protecting me from elevating myself to the heights of my feelings?
Well,
yeah,
when I'm
and destruction go together.
So, Michael, you spoke first.
Yeah, I was looking at the importance that we discuss all of the time of, you know, what I resist persists. And to the precise extent that I resist my emotions, for good or for bad, is the propensity to move directly into a distraction. And out of that, what I do is I literally lower my vibration, because I'm not aware of really any sustainable benefits from at least the addictions that I've plagued myself with over my life. They seem to work, but they definitely distracted me, and they destructed me. And so there's really no ability to sustain that the kind of peak experiences that seem to be more and more common, you know. So that's my sense of it.
Beautiful. I'm so glad you mentioned peak experiences, because I'm experiencing that when the soul is free and expressed, there is an ecstasy that is very recognizable. And there is even a possibility to sustain it. And in that space, there's no self-destruction. But there's also a complete listening to what I feel, an emotion that is connected to it. So that's elevating, peak experience, ecstasy. All of that speaks of heights. And Emilia, what were you going to say on that?
Well, I think it just resonates in there, but I was thinking that when I do that and I go into the self-destruction by distraction, it's just it's a mind game that comes out of that stupidity that has me thinking that I can put it aside and put it off. And what it does is it keeps me from – it does keep me from the feeling. And the feeling goes back to what I was saying earlier in the circle agreements, is that it causes me to want to go to a place that's comfortable. Comfortable is with familiarity. Familiarity is with something I know. What I know is a self-destruction, so I stay there. And the distractions just keep me there. And it's like, wow, I'm asleep and just don't realize it, because it's so normal how I use the distractions to perpetuate that. And coming to the height of my feeling is to bring me back to the sacred feminine, is to bring me back into paradise. And it's just clear how it's a sign that I'm in limbo when I begin that path. That's a dead sign. It's like, okay, whoa, hello, there's a distraction here, and it's, you know, it's tied to self-destruction.
Beauty. Exactly. So, Emilio, how about if you continue with tiredness, as it is the role of your die, isn't it?
Yes. So tiredness is a sure sign that I am resisting plainness in my speech. And the question is, how is that protecting me from grounding the width of my sensing? And the question, how that's grounding me, protecting me from grounding the width of my sensing, is because when I go off one and go outside myself and not stay grounded, and not make things crystal clear and plain and stay grounded with what is right in the present as opposed to the projection, it doesn't allow me the opportunity to sense. It doesn't allow me the opportunity to sense what's going on in my body. It takes me out there as opposed to being present with myself and everything that's going on, that's manifesting, that's going on. It's really a denial of quote-unquote reality. And as long as I can stay out, as long as I can stay out there by denying reality, I don't have to come in here and feel.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the mystery of sensation keeps on fascinating me, because I've had so much body pain in my life and so much tiredness. And what I am seeing is, I mean, that's exactly that. I was resisting being plain in my speech. I could not, for the life of me, say it simply. Could not. And so that, of course, hides another agenda. But it's so surprising to me, to use that word again, to see the pain vanishing in proportion to my voice and my speech coming to their clarity. It's like science fiction. It's where reality is more science fiction than science fiction. It is surreal.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, anybody rolled the die? Michael, would you take us to five?
Sure. Irritation. And I just have to say, this tiredness touched me this week also. I found myself with a presentation of 200 pages and overwhelmed with how big it was. And really, that night after I had some challenge resting, the next day I just sat still, and it really did. It was about becoming plain. So I'm touched by that also. Irritation, number five, is a sure sign that I am resisting revealing a secret. Yeah, and those irritations can be insidious, right? It's like those unspoken judgments that have me thinking that it's not spiritually correct to judge you and whoever you may be. But that secret is protecting me from actually looking at what's really behind it. And there's a depth there that's blocked off. That is for sure. If I'm not willing to own those secrets within, my intuition is dead. I have no ability to actually dive down and to really hear the voice of the heart, which, you know, like you were saying, Maha, if I ignore the sensations of the body, it impacts me emotionally, it impacts me mentally, and then it certainly impacts my intuition. So that's an important, you know, what do they call that? One of those road signs that there's something going on.
Yeah. A flag. A flag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah. And number six, Emilio, would you do it for all of us?
Number six
and
is...
Please don't quit.
I'm still right here. Quitting, funny, is a sure sign that I am resisting knowing the truth. Quitting is a sure sign that I am resisting to knowing the truth. How is that protecting me from the pure action that can only come with being? You know, it wraps all of it in together and goes back to the mystery and what one said in a movie, you can't handle the truth. And so it's best to stay outside of looking at anything because you really can't handle the truth. And yet the truth is all there is. And so that protects me from the pure action. So it justifies me to do whatever I can to quit being with integrity, to quit doing the best I can, to quit staying and just to quit. And that gives me justification to do anything else. I mean, it's just, what else? And I want to make another comment, because the other thing that impresses me is the word protecting in each one of these. How is that protecting me? How is that protecting me? And behind protection is vulnerability. And so how is that making me refuse and resist being vulnerable? And that plays into this whole protecting piece. So, I mean, that's how I read number six. It's a sure sign that I'm resisting knowing the truth. If I quit, I'm just resisting knowing the truth. Quit my diet. I don't, you know, quit my job. Quit making money. Quit being anything. It's a resistance of knowing the truth because it all materializes into truth.
Wow. You know, I love that you said that, and that will be my parting word for tonight, that I'm like connecting the dots that, yes, in all of those stages of the limbo, there is a motivation to protect myself, and there's also the action, or more exactly, the reaction to go into resistance. So each of them is a resistance that ends up becoming a protection. Out of resistance, I am protecting. And what really touches me and that deeply connects to this very new feeling for me, which is to feel safe. Like, I don't need to protect myself anymore. I feel safe. And just out of this page to realize what this is saying, that first I go into the reaction of resistance, out of which I am perceiving that I need protection. That simply says to me that this very new feeling that is so gorgeous I was looking for is the result of no longer resisting and protecting. I'm loving this. I thank you. That's my parting word. My eyes are open and so is my heart.
Thank you. Thank you. Michael, how about you? What's the takeaway, closing words?
I feel orgasmic. I feel like I just had an orgasm and I'm sitting here and taking it easy and relaxing. So I just feel relaxed and prepared and grateful.
Beautiful. There's a part here that, Maha, what you said, and tying up everything we talked about, just being safe and going back to that notion of what am I protecting and why am I afraid to be vulnerable and protecting, and how that throws me into a limbo and how there is no ability to be safe and feel safe without becoming vulnerable. There is no out there. There's nothing to fear, and yet the conditioning and the comfort places that I would go into of distraction keep me out there. So this has been awesome. I knew it was going to be a beautiful dance, and thank you so much. And So there we go. We got some signs of sentimentology of being in limbo. So if the shoe fits, step in it. And I know I do, and I know we all do. And it's been a blessing being with you again. And we'll see you again soon. Laura and Verena and other friends, thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, that's about it. That's a wrap.
Thank you, beautiful brothers. I love you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Verena. Good night. Peace.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.